In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
WFAN, WFAN FM, WFAN FM HD1, New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
All right, but we're Gio coming to you live at the Bill Ford Talk Studio on Fan and CBS Sports Network. Juan Soto night out in Chicago last night. Need to see a couple things from the Yankees, and you did. Nestor Cortez bouncing back and pitching well, and one of those two guys, Juan Soto or Aaron Judge, carrying the team and beating up the worst team in baseball, the White Sox, after a miserable, miserable Monday night where they lose 12-2. We want to talk some Yanks. Now's the time, 888-808-1019. And, of course, the Mets with another loss, and this West Coast road trip nap that they were taking that ended in Seattle in a very, very disappointing fashion has leaked its way back here to Citi Field in a sleepy loss last night to the Athletics. So we joked around earlier this morning. It is a stop the bleeding situation. You have to make sure that this doesn't get out of control. You can take this West Coast road trip excuse only so far. And you've got teams, bad teams, in the A's and the Marlins in these next couple before you end up playing the Baltimore Orioles and some better teams. So here you go.
Well, the pitching has not been great, and the hitting has not been great and has not been consistent enough, and you've lost four in a row. And so have the Phillies, for that matter. And this, you know, both the Braves and the Mets have lost a major opportunity over the last 5 weeks to actually really get close to the Phillies. That's part of the disappointment for the Mets. You know, the Yankees, I mean, this is exactly what you expected from them. This is the kind of performance you want to see from them, especially Nestor Cortez against a bat and a light-hitting lineup. And, of course, Juan Soto does what Juan Soto has been doing all year long. And then on top of all of this stuff, to me, the Yankees are still a very top-quality world. They have what every other team in baseball who is competitive enough to win the World Series, they have enough to do it. Compared to every other team. You know, the question is, do they stay hot? Can they stay hot? And how long is Jazz Chisholm going to be out for? Because he has been like the Energizer Bunny since he got here.
Yeah, I mean, these UCL injuries are interesting because, first of all, there's a huge difference between a pitcher and a hitter. And in a UCL injury, we've seen guys play through it. We've seen guys pitch through it, too. But we've also seen guys get a surgery and then come back and are able to hit but not throw, and so this will be really interesting to see.
And you know, this play happens where he gets hurt, as they're showing the replay. He's actually in the midst of stealing third.
Yeah,
and that's one of the reasons why he was running home. I mean, like, you know, he is an aggravating guy to have on the base paths if you are a pitcher, and he makes everybody uncomfortable because of his speed, which is something that the Yankees have a lot for years.
Yeah, I mean, and he obviously changed the entire face of what the lineup looked like when he got here. We knew he wasn't going to stay as hot as he was in the first couple of games, but he's a player that they need. He's a different type of player. He's a, as you mentioned, an aggravator on the base paths. He's someone who can steal a base. He's someone you always have to pay attention to. He's annoying in that lineup for opposing pitchers. So,
all right, it's the 14th of October. I mean, August. Excuse me. God, it's the 14th of August.
Yeah.
So he and Rizzo are going to be back. Most, I guess Rizzo's getting ready to do a rehab assignment, I think. I guess he's getting close. He had that forearm fracture.
Yeah.
And now you have Chisholm that's going to go on to the IL. So you think that they are both back by the end of August?
It's hard to say, man. I mean,
And then who goes on the IL?
Yeah.
Because that's just the way the season has gone for the Yankees.
I mean, the Chisholm thing is we haven't talked about it a lot because you have no idea. I mean, we could sit here and say, well, he could be out for a month. He could be out for the rest of the season. He could be out for a game. I don't know. We got to find out more information. But I have no idea how the Chisholm thing's going to work out. And as far as Rizzo's gone, it's like, I mean, what do you expect out of him if he does come back?
I don't know. Probably not much. But I would say that having a full complement of your lineup is just, it just takes a lot of pressure off of a lot of other players. Now, I think that Judge and Soto are going to do what they do. And if Stanton can stay healthy in there, they're going to be fine. Look, their lineup when they are healthy is as good as anybody's in baseball. I don't care what anybody says. I still believe that they have the quality pitching. I worry about their bullpen a little bit, that they can go up against anybody. Now, anybody can beat them too. That is at the top of, you know, off the top of baseball when they get to the playoffs. I'm not saying that they are so dominating that they can't be beat, but I do think that they are good enough that they can beat anybody that they're going to play.
Sure. I mean, in what version of this lineup are you going to get? Are you going to get the one that can mash with two of the best hitters in the game, or you get the one we've seen in the postseason before that just is shut down, and you get Aaron Judge hitting 125 in a series? And let's not forget, too, in Giancarlo Stanton, for the most part, when he's gotten in the playoffs, he's been clutch. So you hope for that again as well. But that's been a bigger issue to the Yankees than anything. All right, let's get some calls in. Baseball fans, 888-808-1019. Gabe in Wayne. What's going on, Gabe?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. I appreciate it. I got to say, I'm not as optimistic as Boomer with respect to the Yankees lineup and the respect to the Yankees situation right now moving forward. You know, we look at last night's win, and I'm glad it's going to go down at the W in the win column. But at the end of the day, you're talking about a 4-1 win against a team that hasn't won on a Monday until yesterday. You know, and Nestor Cortez had a strong start, but again, it's against an extremely weak lineup. What we did at the trade deadline obviously wasn't good enough. Jazz Chisholm, that's a freak accident. Nobody can expect it. But you got guys like Leiter Jr. and Eniel De Los Santos coming out of the bullpen. They're supposed to be swing and miss guys getting shelled by the worst team in baseball. So I think longevity-wise, we're looking at a team that is going to be able to win a lot of games between now and the end of the regular season, but isn't going to be able to get it done in the stretch, in the playoff run. Unfortunately, I think that this has been a long time coming, and I'm not really seeing the formula for a world championship this season. I'd love to see your guys' thoughts.
Man, all right, so you're putting, and a lot of Yankee fans have done this, and C-Mac was one of them, that Gabe was putting such an emphasis on what happened to the Yankees on Monday night that they're using that to project into the future way too much. Like, and I understand it's the worst team we may have ever seen in the White Sox. You had a miserable game against them. But does that, more than last night or some of these games where they beat up opponents, bad opponents, does the Monday night, August 12th, mean more than these other games? I don't think so. I don't see it that way. I mean, I guess when you're a Yankee fan who's been burned the last couple of years and believing that the team is better than maybe they were, that you see these things and you take them as more important signs than maybe they are.
All right. So, you know, I'm looking at the Yankee schedule. You know how I am, right? Looking at this and looking in the future. And again, you don't take anything for granted, but they got another one in Chicago, obviously, tonight. And then they got three versus Detroit. Then comes Cleveland. That would be a good test to see because Cleveland's one of the better teams in the league in terms of record-wise. And then comes Colorado and Washington. I mean, you know, this is the moment where the Yankees, you know, they got to go like 9-3.
Well, I'm not worried about. I mean, if the Yankees, you want to win the division, obviously, but if they win the division or not win the division, it's not going to be that big of a deal in my eyes. It's just how this team performs in the playoffs. So that's what's tough about evaluating them now. This is what Yankee fans are doing.
You know, the thing about winning the division, having the best record in baseball, and then you get that week off.
I don't even know if that's a good thing.
That's the point. That's everybody's, you know, everybody's arguing that, you know, you, especially if they finish strong.
Yeah.
You finish strong and all of a sudden you stop playing baseball for 5 days.
You know what they say?
No, what do they say?
Can't manufacture it.
Can't manufacture what?
That feeling of the real games when you're off for a week.
Well, that's what I've been talking about preseason football. And, you know, and I know Aaron Rodgers doesn't, you know, think that it's important to play. I just do feel like, and I'm glad and I'm happy that it's trending the way that Daniel Jones is going to be on the field this weekend.
Yeah.
For the Giants. I like that.
You do like that. Yes. You like that. Hey, Fleegs, is this the Brett on Long Island?
It sure is.
Oh,
wow.
Wow.
Man, this is a moment here. I've never actually spoken to Brett. It's almost like meeting a reality TV star to me. Like, I honestly feel that way because I've heard so many of his calls. I've admired his agitating nature. There is not a single person out there that he has not gotten under the skin of. I mean, I remember Big Zoo was doing like, he was basically like Buddha the other night when he was doing filling in on the overnight and so happy and what it is, what's up, bro? We're here, we're family, we're this, we're that. And then yeah. Brett on Long Island calls and gets them all fired up. He's like, don't you dare tell me something I didn't say to us. This is Shane O'Shane that I say. Bro, that's why I draw the line. You tell me I said something I didn't say, I didn't say. If I said it, I said it. If I didn't say it, I didn't say it. So don't even put your words in my mouth.
And I was like, wow, Big Z.
Man, oh, man. So here he is. Now, I don't know if he's tried to call before and Al hasn't picked him up because he's been on the overnight too much, but I'd be like, I'm a little nervous. Like, I got to be honest, I'm a little nervous. Brett on Long Island, good morning.
I'm finally on because Al's on vacation. That's why I'm calling. Boomer, do me a favor, man. Stick to football.
Okay.
Because your baseball takes are as bad as Gio's golf game. I mean, I trust the Yankees. Their pitching staff is terrible. They're inconsistent, Boomer. Are you serious? That's your take?
My take is that you have one of the best pitchers, if not the best pitcher in baseball, in Gerrit Cole. And, you know, he's going to be the
anchor. He doesn't have a 98-mile-an-hour fastball anymore, but go ahead.
All right, well, whatever. You know, Brett, you can be as miserable as you want to be. I don't care.
Here we go.
Your misery does not affect my life at all.
You sound like you care, Boba. I don't know. You sound like you care, though, the way you're saying that. You care.
No, I don't really care. I really don't.
It's a football, bro. I'm just saying. I like you, but yeah, I'm not going to listen to your baseball takes. I don't agree with it at all.
Brett, can I ask you if you don't mind? You're a Suffolk County guy, right?
Yeah, Suffolk County, going to Delaware. I know, but you know, you have a problem with Delaware.
No, hold on.
You're a Sayville guy. You're bougie. You're a bougie guy. I know.
You're South Sayville. Get it right. You know, it's a little different.
Yeah.
Where in Suffolk County?
It's a mystery. I'm out east. I'm in Yaphank area.
Oh, okay. All right. I mean, I grew up in Brookhaven Hamlet, so I'm very familiar with Yaphank.
Did they let you out of jail on a daily basis?
Oh, funny, Boomer.
Yeah.
I got to ask this, though. Has Gio's golf game gotten better, Boomer? Can he actually, like, compete with you at all?
No.
Or is he just terrible?
No. I'll answer that. I cannot compete with Boomer. I have gotten better, and he can answer it, too. But I still stink. I'm still in the 20s when it comes to handicap, and I'm just working on it. So, I mean, I'm not, this is the thing, like, people, like, want to use me learning the game of golf and not being great in the beginning as some sort of insult. Like, I know I stink.
Everybody who has done what you're doing has gone through that. How's your golf game, Brett?
I don't play golf, and Boomer, that's a girls' game, golf. You know,
girl,
I don't know if I can say
game.
That, but yeah, that's a girls' game, Boomer. Okay. I thought you were a football player. I remember growing up watching you. I'm 54. I actually respected how you played. You stuck in there. You took hits like, oh, my God. But now you're soft, man.
Yeah.
You're not the same anymore. I know guys that play hockey with you. They don't touch you. You're in a no-contact hockey league, Boma. Come on.
Well,
you're
like that's the not, biggest that's guy. You're like 6'5". That, that's the rules soft, of the man. League. That's the rules of the league, Brett. You know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they told me, oh, they don't touch Boma. He's soft. I said, the guy towers over everybody. But, you know, oh, it's Boma. I'm not going to hit him. Like, come on, man. Now you're playing golf?
Yeah, well, whoever you told doing, you Boma? That is whoever told you that is lying. Because it's the opposite when I play.
You don't take hits, Boomer. Tell oh, the truth. I know well,
people
guys
try to come after
you.
Me.
You
know, come
you.
On.
Brett, how many friends in your life like have stopped talking to you over the last like 10 or 15?
Most of them. Most of them. I don't know. I don't know why, but I don't have a lot. But I got to go, guys. It was good talk. The only reason I get in is because Al's on
vacation. I got to go. I got to see you.
Oh, God. That was amazing. It was like watching, like, Picasso paint a painting when he was going after you like that. Like, I was like, wow, look at him. Look at him go. Like when you see a hummingbird come up to a flower and suckle yeah. the pollen out of it. Or whatever.
We got Boomer stick to football in like the first 10 seconds.
Yes. Yeah, golf's a girl's game. You're soft. Geo sucks at golf. You got a problem with Delaware. I don't have a problem with Delaware. I have changed my tune on Delaware, by the way, Brett. Because a caller called up and explained to me how Delaware is like Long Island South.
It is.
And there's a lot to love there.
Taxes.
Yes.
Lack right. thereof.
Right. But man, he was waiting for that all those years.
That
Al didn't let him on.
Frustration, yeah.
Right. And he's like, I'm gonna empty out everything that I have had pent up against Boomer for many years. He's done not touched in his hockey league. Used to be a tough guy. Plays golf, which is a girl's game now. Like, he's like, I'm going right after him. You know what? You didn't bite. Got close. Got close. You're like that fish that just nibbled. It was like, oh, wait a second. There's a hook there.
Oh, baby.
There's a hook there.
Yes.
And you didn't get into the boat. But he tried. He sent his best stuff at you. Electric stuff.
You can't worry about Brett and Long Island. Can't worry about it.
It's Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Oh, that made my day. Weather's brought to you by Highland Electric Fleets. The other thing, I gotta go, guys.
I just dumped all over you. I'm out.
See you later. What a guy. And I love, too, another thing. He goes, all right, so where you live, Brett? It's a mystery. Yapank. Wow, that was tough to get out of you.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
CBS Sports Network. We've got Jerry Recco back. He's got another update for us. What's happening, Jerry?
Good morning. Brought to you by the Farmer's Dog. Fresh human-grade dog food delivered right to your door. And by Jackpocket. Order official state lottery games on your phone with Jackpocket.
One-on-one out, 1-1. Soto drives it. Left field, it's deep. Benintendi back on the run at the wall. Gone. Goodbye for Juan Soto. Number 31, a two-run smash, and the Yankees have a 2-0 lead.
And that was early. He would add another one and another one. Three home runs on the night for Juan Soto. Emmanuel Babari with the call here on The Fan. As the Yankees bounced back from that stinky loss the night before and beat the White Sox 4-1, here was Nestor Cortes, the pitcher of record, 7 innings, 3 hit ball, 9 strikeouts. That didn't go so badly for him last night, Boomer. He says, amazing when guys like Judge and Soto do things like this.
Yeah, I mean, I've said it all year. These guys carry our lineup. If one of these two guys get on, or both these guys get on, or they both hit homers, or one of them hit homers, there's a high chance we win that ball game. So whenever they're on base and whenever they're up to bat, I like my chances.
I would say so. Jake Cousins, who closed it out, was with Susan afterwards on The Fan. Kind of a similar take.
Yeah, I mean, every time we're out there, I mean, when Soto and Judge come up every single day, we're just like, wow, these guys are so good. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun playing behind those guys.
I would say so. Yankees now 71-50, but there is some injury concern while Judge and Soto are mashing, as we know. Wow, 75 home runs they've combined for. Jazz Chisholm Jr. likely headed to the injured list because of a UCL injury in the elbow from the slide at home plate the night prior. And so not sure in terms of the severity or how much time he will miss. Yankees are a half game ahead of the Orioles, though, now for first place in the AL East as Baltimore lost at home to Washington 9-3. As for the Mets, a couple of things from their game. One, the game stunk.
Pitch to Andujar is bounced toward third. Iglesias charges, Olays the ball. It ricochets off his glove, goes into left. Rooker rounds and scores from second base.
I don't know if you saw this play at all. I know you guys weren't watching this terrible game. This was brutal. I mean, he's literally trying to run to third base and swipe the ball at the same time.
Oh, my God!
Yes, that's exactly right. Keith Ratt on WCBS 880, part of a 9-4 A's win at Citi Field, dropping the Mets to their fourth straight loss and 7 of their last 11. Paul Blackburn, the starter, wasn't good. 7 runs over just 4 innings. It was his manager, Carlos Mendoza. Was he nervous going up against his former team?
That's hard for me to tell. You know, you're probably going to have to ask him. But there's definitely emotions, you know. Not only he's facing his former team, but first outing here at home. But he's been in this league for a long time. So I think it's just one of those outings where he just didn't have it.
He didn't have it, and that's exactly what he said.
There wasn't a single pitch I feel like I could lean on. You know, it was worked for me the first two games here with Alvi back there. Obviously wasn't working tonight. And, you know, he tried to salvage that as best as possible. But at the end of the day, when you can't get anything over the plate, it's going to be a tough
time.
That's
interesting. I was listening to John Flaherty talk to Susan yesterday. I don't know if you heard this.
I did not.
And they were talking about, you know, pitchers who don't really know what their stuff is going to be until they get actually out on the mound. Even in the bullpen, it may not be perfect, but when they get on the mound, they'll know what pitchers are working for them. And he was talking about Mike Mussina, and he said, you know, Mike Mussina is one of the best and most thoughtful guys that I'm paraphrasing here that I've ever, you know, caught. And Mike Mussina used to say, like, you know, why are we even going over this game plan? Because we don't really know what I'm going to have until I get out there.
You know what's amazing is even kids 14 and 15 years old, for real.
Yeah.
And I'm talking kids that are throwing 80, 85. They go to the bullpen. They're awful. Then they go out there and they look phenomenal. They're in the bullpen. They look great. Then they can't throw a strike in the game. It's weird.
It's the classic range hero in golf.
Yeah, too. I know. You're right.
Have a great range session, you're terrible. A bad range session, you're great. Doesn't make any sense.
It is very true. Here was one. This happened during the game with Francisco Alvarez up. And so after the starter, Boyle comes out of the game. He was throwing 100. He runs into trouble in the fifth. Mets score a couple of runs. They bring in Austin Adams, a former Met who was cut after or right around spring training, whatever. This is A's TV as Adams is, what would you say, quite colorful on the mound as he gets Alvarez to strike out to end the inning.
And he got him. Sliders working for Austin Adams. He'll throw his hands to the heavens and getting out of the inning.
And getting on the Mets. He was mocking their OMG thing. Again, I saw John Boy was kind of doing the lip reading. I don't know from what angle, but I guess he was cursing at the Mets and saying, get that bleep and bleep out of here. So he had some fun with that at the Mets' expense. And
that just goes to show you there's even intensity for a team that sucks.
The A's, though, the A's aren't the White Sox. They're not good.
But they're a team that, you know, obviously doesn't spend any money. They're in the midst of moving. There's all sorts of crap going on.
Is Sacramento next year or the year after?
Yeah, I believe it's next year. I don't even think they have shovels in the ground in Vegas yet.
No, they might not. I don't know. I did see the renderings, though. Very cool-looking stadium. Here is J.D. Martinez. He got hit in the elbow with a pitch. So what is up now?
No testing. Just see how it feels. You know, all the x-rays and everything were negative, so it's good.
Well, maybe he'll miss a month. Who knows? Hopefully he's back there today. We don't know, but that didn't look good. That's for sure, getting hit by that fastball. I think it was like 98 miles an hour. I can't tell. There's no pad on that elbow, right?
No. Nope.
I mean, how does that not break?
Yeah, and how does Giancarlo Stanton pull a muscle every single year?
That's a very good point.
Doesn't make any sense.
You're right. Mets now 2 games behind the Braves for the third wild card spot because Atlanta beat San Francisco 4-3. Also, I know here we focus on Aaron Judge and his 42 home runs. You got the 33 from Juan Soto. But in Los Angeles, Shohei Ohtani continues to mash.
1-0, and Ohtani rips this one to right field, way back, upper deck. And the show rolls on in Milwaukee, his second home run in as many games. And the Dodgers lead it 2-0. Home run number 37 for Shohei Ohtani.
And that's Dodgers radio, the call, the home run in Milwaukee as they beat the Brewers 7-2. It's funny, CBS Sports Network put up the numbers. I was going to ask you if you thought where he was at, like what type of season he was having.
He's right behind both Soto and Judge, I think, in terms of MVP. What do you think?
I think Judge is first. I think Ohtani's probably second. Only because I think Soto loses out votes because of Judge.
Let's just say if you had to individually vote for each one of them, doesn't matter what teams they are.
I would still go Judge, Ohtani, Soto. But they're close.
They're all close, yes.
They're very close, no question about it. All right, lots of football stuff to get to. Giants camp Malik Nabers asked about, now, so we had a clip from him earlier saying he guarantees, Yeah, he says he'll be there week one, that he's okay, feels fine with the ankle and the foot. He was asked about the buzz that he has created this summer with a lot of highlight plays and him and Daniel Jones being on the same page in practice.
I take it as just football, this famous person or not, you know, if I don't do my job at the end of the day, I'm not going to be this praise receiver like, you know, everybody's saying.
All right, have to actually go out and do it. So is it cool that expectations are up surrounding this team and yourself?
I mean, it has its pros and cons, I would say, you know, that, you know, when you got a lot of attention going on, you got to, you know how to handle it, know what to say and how to say, you know, what to do and what not to do. So it has its pros and cons.
Pros and cons. Pressure's a privilege.
You know, it sounds like a very practical take, you know, on things, which is good.
I mean, if he hits, too, in a big way, I mean, you got to draft an LSU wide receiver if you can. All these guys come out. And they're great, most of them, that they get taken in the top portion of the draft. So I loved everything I've heard from him, everything I've seen from him. I know you like Roma Dunze a little better. I was always the Neighbors guy, so we'll see how it pans out. But I can't wait to see an electric weapon for the Giants at the wide receiver position for the first time since Odell's.
All that's left is going out and doing it.
Exactly.
Pretty much, because it looks pretty damn good. At Cowboys camp in California, the audio is not great, so I'll stop it if you can't hear it. But this is Micah Parsons, who was asked if there's any worry about CeeDee Lamb getting a deal done and being there week one.
Oh, no. CeeDee checked in on me. He's watching the practice film. He's like, oh, you going crazy, Simon. You know, we have our talks, but at the end of the day, me and CeeDee and all of us, we kind of know what it is. CeeDee's a part of his brotherhood, what he likes or not. He knows he's not going nowhere. The business side, you know, they're going to take care of it.
But when is the question? So it's got to be before week one.
It's amazing how many guys are kind of upset with their contracts right now. And I'm talking about big-time players.
Right.
You know, obviously, Jamar Chase, you got CeeDee Lamb, you got Hassan Reddick. I mean, you got Brandon Ayuk out there in San Francisco, and I'm sure Mike is going to want his contract. Dak's going to want his contract extended. It is, you know, it's significant that these teams are waiting so long. I don't know why. I mean, why is it so hard to sign Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb, who had incredible seasons last year?
But isn't, honestly, the complexities of the salary cap the issue?
Yeah, it's got to be.
No doubt Jerry Jones would pay him.
He's got to pay him.
Right, but you got to fit it in somehow.
Hey, you know, give him a lot more money up front, you know, spread some money out. They can figure out a million ways to do it, and the salary cap's going to go up again next year. That's probably what, I guess if I were Dak Prescott and I put up the numbers that I put up last year, that he put up last year, I think I would argue that, listen, this is my time and I want you to pay me $60 million a year and the salary cap's going to go up next year and I want $160 million guaranteed.
Isn't it interesting listening to him, like how, and I know why you're saying what you're saying. It just goes to show how phony the salary cap is, though. It's just manipulating numbers. It's not really...
It's not as tight as the NHL.
We've also seen teams have to sacrifice in big ways, like the Kansas City Chiefs. They could not sign Tyreek Hill. They had to let him go. So, there's been many examples. Like the Philadelphia Eagles had to shed some guys.
But doesn't that answer the question,
Amari
though?
Cooper was shed from the Dallas Cowboys because they knew they couldn't pay him both.
Which is answering the question why it's taking so long.
By the way, he's not happy with his contract.
In Cleveland?
Yeah.
Well, tough. But if you've got three guys that you just pointed out that have to be paid, maybe this is why it takes so long, because it's so hard to keep them. They're trying to figure out a way to do so.
Look, they got three of, I don't know where you want to put Dak. I would say he's definitely a top 10 player at his position. You got Micah Parsons, who everybody thinks is the top 5 player at his position. I don't know about that just yet. And then there's CeeDee Lamb, who no doubt put up numbers better than every wide receiver in the league last year.
No doubt. We got to figure it out at some point. We'll see.
That's a $60 million. How much is Justin Jefferson making?
God, I don't know, 30-something.
Yeah. So that's $90 million between those two players per year.
What's that getting, 60?
And then what is Nick Bosa making? Because I'm sure that, Micah Parsons is going to be looking at Nick Bosa and the top of the edge pass rusher. And he's basically going to say that he plays multiple positions.
Yes. Linebacker and edge rusher.
Yeah.
That is true. Just a couple more from Mike McDaniel to continue on from last hour, and then something a little apart from that. Here is McDaniel with Kay Adams on Up and Adams. We were talking about Dan Marino and not taking the residuals from the movie from Jim Carrey and all that and taking the lump sum. Then she asked, is Marino like around? Like, is he around the facility? Do you see him often?
Oh, yeah. He's got an office. I see him all the time. He's in. He asked me. He'll go, hey, Mike. Are you cool with me going to a quarterback meeting? I'm like, absolutely.
Is that normal for these legends to like have an office in the building?
I think he's got a contract with Miami.
Okay.
And he's there with Stephen Ross at every home game. I think he travels to all the games. I think they use him as like the Giants should be using Phil Simms.
Right. Okay.
Have him around and use his expertise, let him talk to the players, let him talk to the quarterbacks, let him sit in on some quarterback meetings.
He is Dan Marino.
And he is Phil Simms.
That's right.
Because I think Eli Manning is like, now Phil pretty much has some time. And like Eli Manning has no time.
But that's right, though. Eli's over there too all the time.
He is.
Not to mention.
But I don't think in the same capacity that Dan is with Stephen Ross. Like Dan is there. He's around. He is involved. I don't know how much he's involved in. I don't think he's involved in game planning. But man, could you imagine if you were touring, you're sitting in there with Dan Marino, and you're
tremendous,
talking, just talking football, talking ball, talking about leadership, talking about, I would imagine if you had Phil Simms in the building over there with Daniel Jones. And I haven't talked about Phil about this at all. But he was a resource for Daniel Jones because Phil had to deal with Bill Parcells.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're smiling about. Eddie's probably in your ear about something. But he had Bill Parcells all over him. And he had to deal with that. And he had to fight through all of that. And, and I think Daniel is probably in a similar situation with a similar type of coach where, Brian Daboll is going to try to get the most out of him, but he's going to be tough on him. So why wouldn't you want to have Phil hanging around?
Certainly. I mean, you're acting as if they, Phil asked and they said no,
that's not true. I know that Phil is doing stuff with the Giants this year. I do know that in celebration of their 100th season. They should give him a little bit more makeup when he's on TV, but anyway, I just think that a lot of these teams are missing opportunities, that especially with guys that are legendary players within their organizations that are still,
I'm Boomer Esiason.
No, it's like Anthony Munoz in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. Like, he is a resource, maybe one of the greatest resources you could ever have for young offensive linemen.
He lives out there still?
Yeah, he lives in Cincinnati. Yeah, sure.
Would make sense.
And I think he does some things with the Bengals, but I don't necessarily know that he is engaged as much as I would have hoped that he would be, or that I would expect him to be, or I would want him to be if I were in charge.
Did they finish that top 100 Giants while I was in Italy? Did they do that and finish that up?
No idea. But you mentioned legends.
Yes.
I'll give you goosebumps because we did get an announcement yesterday.
Here it is! The waiting is over! The New York Rangers are the Stanley Cup champions! And this one will last a lifetime!
Sam Rosen, back in the day, 1994. Well, the lifetime of calling Ranger games is coming to a close. As we found out yesterday, this upcoming season will be his 40th and final one as Sam Rosen will retire from the booth.
Yep, one of the great ones, man. Oh. One of the great legendary New York sports, play-by-play guys. I'm right there with all the Mount Rushmore of play-by-play guys here in New York.
It's not much, but when I hear power play goal, I hear Sam's voice.
Yeah,
it's a power play goal. Yeah, it's really crazy. So I'm sad, but away goes Sam.
They have not done the full 100 list. I was just looking.
Where are they
up. At? They're at 31.
Oh, okay.
So you got the top 30 that are left. And still no Phil Simms, obviously. I'm hoping he's a top 10 guy. I told him that.
I would certainly think so.
Should be a top 10 guy. It's a lot of Giants, though, man.
That is a lot of Giants. Is there someone from like 90 to 100? Because I'm sure there's a lot of Giants I've never heard of that played in the 40s and
yeah,
50s.
Okay. Yep.
Is there someone from 91 to 100?
Like, where's Amani Toomer on that list?
Right. That you would be like, really? He's that far down? Not a top 20 guy. Or not really. Or are they names that...
Well, Saquon's 95.
Okay.
I mean, I love that. If he had re-signed, he definitely had been more like 65. But... Yeah.
I was thinking more 80s Giants, the Super Bowl winning teams.
Jeff Hostetler, where do you think he is?
I don't know. I mean, Jeff Hostetler won a Super Bowl, but I don't look at him like I look at Simms.
That's 70. Not. 79.
Okay.
Pepper Johnson.
I'm going to say 44.
75.
Mm. 75.
Yeah.
How about Leonard Marshall?
38.
That's got to be, I don't even know. He might not have even been announced yet.
Okay.
I don't see him being announced yet.
Is Brad Van Pelt on the list?
I have not seen that.
How about Bobby Carpenter?
It's tough to go through all these, man. Brad Benson, number 99.
Oh,
nice. Brad Benson from all those car commercials
yes.
all those years.
Yeah, absolutely.
I played with his two brothers at the University of Maryland.
Really? The yeah. Benson
the
brothers.
The Benson brothers.
The yeah. Benson brothers. The obvious ones are LT, Simms, Strahan. Where's Tiki on the list? Has it not gotten to him yet?
Has not
right? All-time leading rusher for the Giants, right?
Has not gotten to Tiki.
Okay, good.
Has Jennings been named yet?
I have not seen him, no.
Good. Ahmad Bradshaw?
Ahmad Bradshaw is there. I saw his name.
Brandon Jacobs?
Let me ask you this.
Yes, he's there.
Not that he had a great Giants career, but a hell of a moment. What about David Tyree?
No way.
I've not seen, but Brandon Jacobs is 69. I have not seen David Tyree yet.
Okay.
69! Ahmad Bradshaw is 84. Kerry Collins, 83.
Where's Odell Beckham?
I did see him. Hold on. I saw him.
37.
There you go, 37.
Pete Gogolak on there?
Yes. Pete Gogolak is 42.
Bart Oates,
41.
Plaxico Burress.
46.
Is Dick Lynch on the list?
Yes.
I think it has to be.
I saw Dick Lynch. Pretty sure I saw
him. My man, our guy, Shawnee Landetta.
Oh, he's telling me he's not a top five?
He's 47, right between Plaxico Burress and Jeremy Shockey.
One of the great punters of all time, our boy.
Yeah, so
Tom Landry on that list?
It's players only.
No. I thought it was just 100 greatest Giants. Well, he was a defensive back, wasn't he?
55. Number 55.
55.
And Jennings has to be top 20, I would guess.
Yeah, Sean Landetta, to me, is a top three Giant.
What?
He's
trying to get a golf date?
No. I just love I like Sean Landetta.
Yeah, he's a great punter, but number three, huh?
No, but there's a little bit of an inside joke here. There was one time I was busting Sean's balls about wearing his Super Bowl rings everywhere and keeping them out on the table and stuff, just in a joking way. Right. And, he took it personally.
Very seriously.
And
he's a serious guy.
Like, and he reached out to Boomer, like, what, Gio doesn't like me or something? I was like, no, not at all. I was just joking. So now I'm just overcompensating.
I gotcha.
That's what's going on.
Where is the great Fran Tarkenton?
33.
There you go. 33. 33.
Fran Tarkenton.
YA probably hasn't been named yet.
No.
No.
Nope.
Gifford, of course. Huff.
Yeah. I mean, we could probably get to 30, right? We could probably sit here and name
probably
the 30 that haven't been named yet, I would think.
Sean O'Hara? He's not been named yet, has he?
I think
he I did see him. He's on here somewhere.
Oh, he is. Good-looking dude.
65.
Oh, lost a lot of weight.
65, yeah, he did. Wow.
Lost a lot of weight. Looks like a different person.
Jason Pierre-Paul lost a hand. 61.
Oh, okay. Kerry Collins, 83.
Yeah.
Yes.
Took him to a Super Bowl.
Yep.
41-0, Minnesota Vikings, 2000 NFC Championship game. Boomer and Geo coming to you live at the Build Ford Tough Studio.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
Sports Network on this Wednesday morning, talking sports with you. Did you feel like Rob Saleh yesterday was different in the way that BT felt that he was different?
I kind of did. I kind of felt like he was like he owned up to some of the shortcomings that he had the year before. I think he probably knew that we were going to talk about the whole Joe Beningo thing. And that was somewhat embarrassing for him because Joe divulged private text messages and things like that.
And also misinterpreted them.
Right, exactly. So I just think that, look, he knows, they know, and this is one of the reasons why I brought up the fact that, look, man, they don't win. They're gone. They have to win. I mean, this is like, this team is built to win right now. Now, I don't think, personally, if I had to guess, I would not predict them in the Super Bowl, of course, but I do predict them in the playoffs. I mean, to get through Kansas City, to get through Cincinnati, to get through Baltimore, to get through Buffalo, I mean, there's a lot of really good teams in the AFC. And, you know, they're pieced together with older players at very important positions that are coming off of injuries.
Yeah, I mean,
but they do have some young, just explosive talent, and I think the beginning of their schedule is going to allow them to build momentum as the season goes on.
Yeah, I'm fascinated with this adversity that the Jets have gone through, especially the core of the Jets have gone through the last couple of years, really helping them out this season. Like I can see the frustrations that Garrett Wilson has had since he's been here. Where he's lining up in the fourth quarter against a good defense in a game that could clinch a playoff spot, and he uses all that thinking, for the love of God, I've been running routes wishing for this moment since the second I got drafted, and finally I'm here. You know, like, I really think that if last year the Jets had gone 9-8, got into the playoffs, and lost, that they would have not come in with the same type of fire that they're coming in with this year because it was another lost season.
Yeah, there's also a lot of incentive to go out there and win. I mean, and Aaron Rodgers is proof positive of that, number one, just simply because of what happened to him last year. And I also think for Rob Saleh, for Joe Douglas, for everybody over there, they all know that they are one of the chosen teams this year, I think, by a lot of people that cover the league, believe the Jets have some of the best young talent in football at some of the most important positions. And on defense, they are loaded. And on offense, if they can just have this offensive line stay healthy and Aaron stay upright, then you got to, when you compare it to the quarterbacks they're playing against, there's going to be like 11 games where they're going to have a Hall of Famer at quarterback, and the other team is going to be like, what?
Well, yeah, especially the ones right after San Francisco. And if they could somehow win that game, then watch out.
That would be amazing if they could win that game.
Because the schedule after that, very, very favorable. All right, quick break. More on the Jets and your baseball calls coming up.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
Sports Network on this Wednesday morning, talking sports with you. Did you feel like Rob Saleh yesterday was different in the way that, BT felt that he was different?
I kind of did. I kind of felt like he was, like he owned up to some of the shortcomings that he had the year before. I think he probably knew that we were going to talk about the whole Joe Beningo thing. And that was somewhat embarrassing for him because Joe divulged private text messages and things like that.
And also misinterpreted them.
Right, exactly. So I just think that, look, he knows, they know, and this is one of the reasons why I brought up the fact that, look, man, they don't win. They're gone. They have to win. I mean, this is like, this team is built to win right now. Now, I don't think, personally, if I had to guess, I would not predict them in the Super Bowl, of course, but I do predict them in the playoffs. I mean, to get through Kansas City, to get through Cincinnati, to get through Baltimore, to get through Buffalo, I mean, there's a lot of really good teams in the AFC. And, you know, they're pieced together with older players at very important positions that are coming off of injuries.
Yeah, I mean,
but they do have some young, just explosive talent, and I think the beginning of their schedule is going to allow them to build momentum as the season goes on.
Yeah, I'm fascinated with this adversity that the Jets have gone through, especially the core of the Jets have gone through the last couple of years, really helping them out this season. Like, I can see the frustrations that Garrett Wilson has had since he's been here, where he's lining up in the fourth quarter against a good defense in a game that could clinch a playoff spot, and he uses all that thinking, for the love of God, I've been running routes, wishing for this moment since the second I got drafted, and finally I'm here. You know, like, I really think that if last year the Jets had gone 9-8, got into the playoffs, and lost, that they would have not come in with the same type of fire that they're coming in with this year because it was another lost season.
Yeah, well, there's also a lot of incentive to go out there and win. I mean, and Aaron Rodgers is proof positive of that, number one, just simply because of what happened to him last year. And also think for Rob Saleh, for Joe Douglas, for everybody over there, they all know that they are one of the chosen teams this year, I think, by a lot of people that cover the league, believe the Jets have some of the best young talent in football at some of the most important positions. And on defense, they are loaded. And on offense, if they can just have this offensive line stay healthy and Aaron stay upright, then you got to, when you compare it to the quarterbacks they're playing against, there's going to be like 11 games where they're going to have a Hall of Famer at quarterback, and the other team is going to be like, what?
Well, yeah, especially the ones right after San Francisco. And if they could somehow win that game, then watch out.
That would be amazing if they could win that game.
Because the schedule after that, very, very favorable. All right, quick break. More on the Jets and your baseball calls coming up.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.